just received word?
A long pause that Morse did not like. The Perilous is gone. Morse rose from her seat.
What do you mean, gone?
A pause, then...
Apparently she's been destroyed, ma'am. Between the orbit of the first moon and Ryloth. That's the word I received from Ryloth Control.
Morse sagged back into her seat and swallowed hard. To her knowledge, an Imperial Star Destroyer had never before been destroyed. And now, one had, above the planet she was administering, by a rebel movement that she was supposed to suppress. Whatever had been left of her career before today had been blown to bits with the Perilous. Though her shuttle was on the other side of the planet, she looked out the viewport half expecting to see parts of the Star Destroyer floating out there. She couldn't quite fathom how things had gotten to this point. Yes, she could. She'd trusted Belcour too much. She'd relied on the man and been let down. With her comlink, she raised Belcour.
Ma'am, I'm managing a lot down here at the moment.
The colonel's voice sounded high-pitched and stressed over the connection. Morse sputtered.
You're managing a lot? You?
The Perilous is gone, ma'am, but Vader and the Emperor escaped. There are many survivors, in fact. I've instructed your pilot to...
You what?
To divert and assist in rescuing the Emperor and Lord Vader.
Why isn't the area already filled with V-Wings and rescue ships? What are you doing down there, Belcour?
Ma'am, we have limited ships, and getting them too close to the Perilous before her explosion seemed imprudent. I'm launching them now.
A headache began in Morse's left temple, a spike of pain she hadn't felt since the day she'd actually cared about her job. She held the comlink up to her mouth and spoke through gritted teeth.
You are to do nothing more, Colonel, without first consulting me. Is that understood?
A pause, then.
Yes, ma'am.
You will answer to me for all of your failures the moment I set foot on Ryloth. Is that understood?
A very long pause. Then.
Yes, ma'am.
Morse cut the link, seething. She'd been too hands-off for years, letting Belcour run amok on Ryloth. She needed to at least give the appearance of running things. An investigation would be coming. Punishment would be coming. Morse's sole chance at redeeming the situation, at least partially, was to find and bring the Emperor and Lord Vader safely to Ryloth's surface. If she did, perhaps she could maintain her station. She could put the blame for her inability to suppress the Free Ryloth movement on Belcour, blame the promising but underperforming officer for the missteps that had led to the destruction of a Star Destroyer. Morse would be held accountable for being a bad judge of character, a bit too willing to overlook the flaws in a subordinate, but perhaps she could skirt the worst of it. She had no other course. To Breeld, she said,
"Get us around the planet as fast as you can, Breeld."
"Aye, ma'am."
The shuttle accelerated to full, speeding around Ryloth, chasing the ruins of the Perilous.
"Got one," Eshko said, pointing at the scanner screen.
Isval saw it. A shuttle, picking its way through the debris field toward Ryloth.
"Tri-fighters are closing too," Eshko said.
"Weapons hot," Isval said,
activating the modest cannon array on the escort boat.
"Let's go get him."
Eshko accelerated through the debris, swinging the escort boat left and right to dodge pods and chunks of the Perilous. The scanner chirped, indicating that it had detected the ident of the second ship Cham had identified. They were tens of thousands of kilometers apart.
"Stay with the first," Isval said,
"but keep a fix on the second. We'll come back around." Morse looked at the viewport and gasped when she saw the scope of the destruction. chunks of metal, some larger than her shuttle, floated everywhere. Escape pods and even V-wings without power floated free among the debris. Where are the rescue ships? Morse asked herself. Damn you, Belcor. Debris spattered the ship's hull. Brielle's voice came over the comm.
Ships incoming, ma'am.
The rescue ships? How many?
No, ma'am. Scan is strange. I think they're old droid tri-fighters.
They're what? Never mind. Do you have the Emperor shuttle?
Have it on the scanner, ma'am.
Hail them.
Very good. Wait. Ma'am, there's an escort boat coming at us on an attack vector.
Morse figured if the rebels had vultures and tri-fighters, they might also have repurposed Imperial escort ships.
Take evasive action, she said.
She threw herself in a seat but fumbled the straps. Brielde, no doubt assuming she was strapped, slammed the ship hard to port. Morse was flung across the cabin and crashed hard into the bulkhead, knocking the wind from her. Red lines lit up space as the tri-fighter's repeating blasters started firing at the surviving Imperial ships. Unable to dodge effectively, escape pods exploded in flames. The V-wing still flying answered the tri-fighters with cannon fire of their own.
He's gone evasive, Eshko said,
swinging the escort left and right as he closed on the shuttle.
Closer,
Isval said to Eshko, waiting for the targeting computer to lock on.
Just a bit closer.
The targeting computer beeped to indicate it had a lock. Isval fired, and the cannons loosed lines of hot plasma. An impact rocked the shuttle, throwing Moore's heart against the bulkhead, driving the breath from her lungs. Alarms wailed. She lifted herself to all fours, breathing hard.
Brielde!
She said, but he didn't respond.
Status!
Brielde was presumably too engaged in maneuvering the ship to answer. The shuttle swung hard down and up. Red lines streaked past the starboard portholes. Another impact struck the rear of the ship. A secondary explosion followed, larger than the impact, one or more engines going up. The lights died in the cabin, and the ship bucked, flinging Moors around the cabin. She hit her head hard against one of the cabin's chairs. She gasped with pain, and her vision blurred. Blood poured from her opened scalp and into her eyes.
Brielde! Brielde!
Smoke leaked into the cabin from somewhere, stinging her eyes. The alarm seemed to be growing fainter. Either that, or she was fading. She pawed at the chair, surprised to see blood on her hand, and tried to pull herself up. Whoever was shooting at them would be coming around for another pass. She didn't know if the deflectors were still operating. If not, dizziness allowed her to rise only partially before she sagged back to the deck.
Brielde,
she said, her voice sounding oddly distant. The engines went offline, and the ship went hard right and down. The smoke thickened. The lights went out entirely. Coughing, gagging, losing consciousness, she realized they were going down. She wondered what had happened to the backup power.
Damn it,
Isval said, as the shuttle they'd been targeting veered right and down. Eshko had to slam the escort boat hard left to avoid an escape pod, but he was a moment too slow. The escort boat nicked the pod, metal scraping metal, before he unpeeled from the ship.
No damage. We're good, he said, breathing hard. We're good.
No, we're not,
Isval said, trying to keep her eye on the shuttle amid the debris and other ships and pods. She'd already lost weapons lock.
Come back around! Now, Eshko, now!
Trying!
He said through clenched teeth, steering the ship through the debris. Despite his effort, Bits of material peppered the escort boat's hull.
I can't see him,
Isval said.
I still have him on scan, Eshko said.
Look, his power's out. Not even life support. He's floating dead, headed down.
Where's the other one? Isval said, and checked the scan herself. She saw the second ship heading straight for Ryloth. Worse, she saw incoming V-wings on the sensors heading up from Ryloth.
We're going to lose the second one, Isval, Eshko said. I know, she said, and raised Cham on their private comlink. Cham, I need you to extrapolate a likely impact zone for...
I can't see anything, Isval. We're around the other side of the planet, aboard ship, and heading down for the base on Ryloth. What's happening there?
We hit one of the ships. Her power is down and she's falling into the atmosphere. I don't know if Vader and the Emperor were aboard. Even if they were, they may still be alive.
We're losing him,
Eshko said, meaning the second shuttle.
Just do what you can and get clear of there,
Cham said to Isval.
Belkor shaky. An exit, Isval. Think one through.
She nodded.
Meet you planet side, Cham.
To Eshko, she said,
get after the second one. We'll find the first later.
She watched on the scanner as the first shuttle, powerless, fell into Ryloth's atmosphere. They'd crippled it, probably fatally, but there would be no way to be sure unless they found the ship or its wreckage later. Interference from the atmosphere would block further scanning, and she hated the uncertainty. But there was nothing for it.
Attack Vector on the second one, she said to Eshko. And we leave nothing to chance this time.
Vader stared out one of the small viewports at the millions of pieces of debris, the whole of it as dense as an asteroid field. Each bit of metal goaded his anger. The rebels would be made to pay.
Treachery never goes unpunished, old friend,
the Emperor said, as though reading his mind. Vader heard an undertone of menace in his master's tone. He turned, thinking to ask what his master meant, but before he could, he felt something through the Force. Impending danger. His master, too, must have felt it, for he gave the concern a voice.
They are coming,
the Emperor said, his voice as soft and gelid as a cold breeze. The pilot's voice came over the comm.
My lords, it appears an Imperial escort boat is heading toward us on an attack vector. She's not answering hails.
She is hostile, his master said over the comm. Destroy her.
Vader would take no chances with his master's safety. He stood and started for the cockpit. The escort boat slashed the distance between it and the shuttle.
She sees us,
Eshko said, adjusting his angle of approach.
Seeking a lock?
And I see them,
Isval said, watching as the targeting computer beeped to indicate a weapons lock.
And they're too late.
Deflect this, bastards.
She fired as the Imperial shuttle went evasive. Her shots caught it low under the nose, destroying the shuttle's solitary gun port in a spray of fire and metal. The escort boat passed over and past the shuttle.
Coming around,
Eshko said, wheeling the boat around. Vader threw open the cockpit hatch, and the wail of alarms poured out in a gush. The attacking ship was not visible through the viewport. In the distance, he saw the glow of V-wing fire.
She's behind us,
one of the pilots said, not to Vader, but to the co-pilot.
Guns are gone. The deflectors are holding.
Green beams passed over the ship, catching an escape pod in front of them and to starboard, vaporizing it. Vader clutched the sides of the hatch to maintain his balance. Another round of fire from the escort ship knifed over the shuttle. A second shot caught the shuttle's wing and caused it to buck. The pilot turned the ship hard to port, half-turning, and the escort whizzed past them, passing close enough that Vader caught a glimpse of the escort's pilots. Twi'lek. The Emperor's pilot cursed as he weaved at speed through the dispersing but still dense debris field from the Perilous's destruction. He pulled up hard on the stick, but he was too slow. A piece of stray superstructure slammed into the shuttle with a boom and put a web of cracks in the cockpit's large viewport. Vader had seen enough. He took two strides forward and with one hand disconnected the pilot's seat straps, while with the other he lifted him from his seat and heaved him aside.
Leave.
Vader took the pilot seat. To the co-pilot he added,
You too.
The co-pilot disconnected from his seat, wide-eyed, helped the pilot to his feet, and both hustled out of the cabin. At a glance, Vader took in the data provided by the instrument panel. The escort was closing for another round of fire. With the shuttle's weapons non-operational, Vader focused on evasion for the moment. Using the debris to his advantage, he swung the shuttle hard to port, then stern, then back again, changing altitude throughout, wheeling through the floating pieces of the Perilous. Cannon fire from the escort sprayed space with beams of green, but it went wide and high, striking debris and pods. Vader let them close a bit, then slammed hard on the reverse thrusters, throwing him forward in his seat, and immediately re-engaged the engines. The momentary stop had been enough. The escort streaked past and over him. He gave chase instantly, inverting the shuttle as he did. The shuttle was not armed, true, but Vader was not without weapons. Isval and Eshko cursed as they sped over and passed the shuttle.
That pilot's good,
Eshko said tightly.
Very good.
Where is he?
Phelan asked from the rear compartment.
What's he doing?
Isval realigned their scan.
Got him.
She looked up through the canopy of the escort boat, eyes wide with disbelief to see the shuttle, merely tens of meters distant and flying upside down.
The ship's cockpit viewports faced each other. Isval could see Vader, and Vader could see them. Vader made a gesture with his gloved hand as if he were pinching off a bleeding artery, and Isval felt her throat constrict. Instinctively, she reached for her neck, but there was nothing there, just the pressure, just the squeezing. She couldn't breathe. She pawed at her neck, panicked now, legs kicking. Beside her, Eshko was behaving the same way. She thought to draw breath, couldn't. She clawed at her collar, squirmed in her seat, made a tiny gasp. Whatever held her squeezed tighter. Tighter.
What's wrong? Drim shouted from the back. What is it? What is it?
Her vision was darkening. Little bursts of light swam before her eyes. She remembered the sounds Pock had made over the comm when Vader had killed him. The long silence, punctuated by the abortive gasps. It was Vader, choking her somehow. It had to be. She glanced up and saw the Imperial shuttle with Vader at the controls. Someone was calling her name. Cham? Drim? Phelan? She couldn't answer. Her mouth wouldn't work. She had no breath, no words. Her vision tunneled down to Vader, only Vader. She imagined herself reflected in the eyepieces of his helmet. Her world distilled down to his eyes and her anger, and that distillation gave her a moment of clarity. She was failing, she knew, dying, but she wouldn't go alone. She lowered her hands from her throat and seized the stick. She jerked it back, and the escort boat went nose up for the shuttle. Everything went black. Vader sensed the danger a fraction of a second before the dying Twi'lek flew the escort boat into the shuttle. He slammed on the stick hard right and back, but the shuttle was not as maneuverable as his Eta interceptor and responded too slowly. The escort slammed into the shuttle's belly and set it to spinning, aft over bow. The stars and planet in the viewport whirling past in a maddening spiral. Metal groaned and alarm screamed, but only for a moment before the shuttle lost all power. Vader sat in the pilot seat holding a dead stick in a dark cockpit. His armor compensated for the darkness by activating the light amplifiers in his helmet lenses. The sound of his respirator filled the quiet. Space through the viewport was a dizzying panorama of shifting images. Ryloth, debris from the Perilous, pods, Ryloth's distant moon, stars. Ryloth grew bigger with each rotation of the shuttle. The ship was falling toward the planet. Motion flashed into Vader's field of view for a moment. The escort boat. It still had power, but was heavily damaged from the collision. It spiraled toward Ryloth, smoking, burning, coming in at too steep an angle. It would break up in the atmosphere. He focused not on the churning perspective through the viewport, but on the fixed point of the instrument panel. Calm, immersed in the Force, he tried to reactivate emergency power, but without success. He rarely had to call on the mechanical talent he'd possessed since childhood, but it would serve him well now. He had only a short time before the ship hit the planet's atmosphere, and if it hit while spinning out of control, they'd burn up. He set about redirecting all latent battery power in the ship to the thrusters. He needed only a few moments of thrust to straighten the ship, then rudder control for the re-entry. His fingers moved quickly over the instrumentation. Ryloth grew larger with each passing moment. A memory stabbed him as sharp as a blade. He'd floated alone in an escape pod over Ryloth once, spinning high over its surface after crashing a cruiser into a droid control ship. Another name bobbed up and broke the surface of the sea of memory. Ahsoka. He'd called her Snip sometimes. He pushed the errant recollection aside and focused on his task. In moments, he'd redirected enough power from backup batteries for at least a few seconds of thruster operation. He did not hesitate. He fell into the Force, looked out the viewport, let himself feel the motion of the ship, and activated the thrusters. The ship's spin slowed, and its angle flattened. Another quick burn stopped the spin altogether, and the shuttle was on a path that would at least allow for re-entry. And he still had a small amount of battery power left. Behind him, the door to the cockpit slid open, and he sensed the presence of his master.
The ship is nearly powerless. I will get us down, though.
No doubt, his master said, and sat in the co-pilot seat. We have been in situations like this before, you and I.
Vader said nothing, though his mind turned to a battle over Coruscant, shortly after he'd killed Darth Tyrannus. As always, his master seemed to fill all available space with his presence and push against Vader with his power.
Over Coruscant, his master said, and at other times.
Vader glanced over, but his master's hooded eyes stared out through the nest of his wrinkled face and revealed nothing.
Ryloth filled the viewport as the ship descended. Seeing the mottled browns of its surface, the smears of green and tan, dredged memories of other times up from the sludge of his distant past, names he rarely thought of anymore. Anakin. Mace. Plo Koon. The shuttle hit the atmosphere too sharply and skipped and bounced, the metal shrieking under the stress. He burned the thrusters for a fraction of a second, righted the angle of approach, and reduced the jarring bumps to mere vibrations. Flames from the friction of atmospheric entry sheathed the ship. Fire surrounded them.
fire. Mustafar. Obi-Wan. He used his ever-present anger to burn away the memories, but the charred husks of the past clung to the forefront of his consciousness. Padme. He rarely allowed himself to think her name. His rage slipped his control, and he squeezed the control stick so hard it cracked. His breath came hard, fast, loud. He felt his master's eyes on him, always on him, the weight of them, the questions they carried. He knew his master could see into him, through him.
"You are troubled, my friend,"
his master said, his voice calm while the ship screamed through Ryloth's stratosphere.
"No, master."
Vader sank fully into the Force and used the focus it gave him to exorcise the past from his mind. He focused on the now, on safely landing a shuttle that was almost entirely without power. His armor regulated his breathing, and instead of being overcome by his emotion, he harnessed it and fell even more deeply into the Force. He channeled the remaining battery power to the in-atmo emergency rudder and used it to make their angle of approach shallower. He realized that there must have been ships falling out of the sky all across the planet. Hundreds of them. The smears of brown and green and tan gained clarity as they fell. He could make out features of the terrain in the light of the setting sun. Gorges, reaches, canyons, dry riverbeds. All of them streaked past, the surface everywhere broken and cracked. A huge forest of trees rose from the parched ground ahead. It looked out of place, a lesion on the otherwise dead surface of Ryloth, but he knew the planet featured several large expanses of woods. The ship careened straight for it, held in gravity's unrelenting grip. The ground rose up at the ship as if the craft had been shot out of a blaster. He was still at too steep an angle, but the rudder controls barely responded even to his strength. He managed to lower the in-atmo emergency flaps, and they helped flatten out the approach. The browns and tans disappeared. The forest filled the viewport entirely, under it, over it, like flying over an ocean of trees.
"Prepare for impact,"
he said. But of course his master had already strapped himself in. The shuttle skimmed the top of the tree line, and Vader tried to use the thin limbs at the crown of the forest's canopy as a makeshift brake. Limbs scraped the hull, some small, some large, and the ship lurched and bounced and slipped deeper into the canopy. The forward viewport was nothing but trees and leaves and the snap of thick branches. Metal screeched, scraped, the ship slamming into one tree after another. They hit a large tree, the viewport cracked, and the shuttle careened to the right and down, hitting another tree as it fell, another, twisting upside down, righting, then hitting another tree and turning on its side. A limb twice as thick as Vader's arm jutted through the viewport, shattering it, splitting the space between Vader and his master. And then it was gone, as the ship continued to fall through the trees, the craft's speed and mass still cutting a swath through the flora. They struck another tree, another, before the ship finally slammed into the ground and buried itself on its side, a meter into the soft loam of the forest floor. Soil exploded through the hole in the viewport and filled the cockpit to half a meter. The sudden silence felt odd, a strange juxtaposition against the chaos of the preceding moments. Vader released his grip on the stick. The screech of one of Ryloth's fauna carried from somewhere out in the forest. The light of the setting sun filtered dimly through the forest canopy, casting the ruined cockpit in deep shadow. Through his armor's filters, Vader perceived the organic stink of the soil the ship had displaced in landing, the vegetable smell of the forest. Vader checked the instrumentation. Everything was dead. No power of any kind.
"Distress beacon is inoperable,"
he said, then released the straps on his seat and lowered himself to the bulkhead, which now served as the deck due to the ship lying on its side. His master released his own chair straps, flipped as he fell, and landed gracefully beside Vader on the bulkhead.
"That landing was far beneath your capabilities," his master said. "I've seen you do better in much more demanding circumstances. I fear your mind was not on the task."
Vader considered his response for a moment. When he spoke, he did not bother to lie.
"I was thinking of something else for a moment."
His master nodded.
"I guessed as much. And I'm pleased that you told me the truth, though I think it only a half-truth. In any event, your lapse has left 4 corpses in the rear compartment."
Vader didn't ask how his master knew that 4 men had died. His master simply knew things, many things, most things, and that was explanation enough. Of course, his master did not actually care about the dead men. He cared only about Vader's failure and Vader's half-truth.
"It won't happen again, Master."
Vader bowed his head.
"I should hope not,"
said his master, perhaps meaning the mediocre piloting, perhaps meaning something else. Vader turned and took a grip on the door that opened onto the passenger compartment, thinking to pry it open.
"You said you were thinking of something else,"
his master said, using the tone he sometimes used when setting a verbal trap.
"What was it?"
Vader left off the door and turned around. He stared into his master's wrinkled face and this time offered no half-truth.
"The past. My old life."
His master stared back at Vader, his dark eyes like deep holes, and exhaled softly.
"I see."
"It means nothing to me,"
Vader said, waving his gloved hand.
"Stray thoughts, nothing more."
His master said.
"The past is a ghost that haunts us. Ghosts must be banished. Lingering on the past is weakness, Lord Vader."
"Yes, Master."
Seeing his master was done with the lesson, Vader turned back around, took a grip on the door, and heaved it open. He had to kneel to see into the passenger compartment. The bodies of the pilot and co-pilot lay not far from the door, eyes open, their limbs sticking out from their bodies at improbable angles. The landing had broken them. The 4 Royal Guards lay strewn about the passenger cabin, 2 of them still strapped into dislodged seats.
"Lord Vader,"
the captain of the guard said, freeing himself of the straps.
"Where is the Emperor? Is he..."
"He is here,"
the Emperor said from directly behind Vader, though Vader had neither heard nor felt him approach.
"And unhurt."
"Get up,"
Vader said. And the 2 who'd been strapped into their seats rose to their feet, wobbly. The other 2 remained on the deck. To Vader's surprise, the leg of one of them twitched in his armor. He wasn't dead.
"There are only 3 dead here,"
he said to his master.
"Are there?"
his master asked. The leader of the guards knelt and checked his fellow.
"He's unconscious, my Emperor. He didn't strap himself in and was thrown about during the landing."
The wounded guard groaned. His gloved hand opened and closed.
"Kill him,"
his master said. The leader of the Royal Guard, conditioned to obey any order of the Emperor, instantly, without question, did not hesitate. He stood, drew his heavy blaster, and shot his comrade once in the head, leaving a dark smoking hole in his helmet.
"And now there are 4,
his master said. Vader did not miss the point. He turned to face his master, his respirator loud and steady. The Emperor shook his head with false regret.
He was stupid. And stupidity, like nostalgia, is weakness. I cannot abide weakness in those close to me. It's a shame, really. But sometimes we must make hard choices. Lead us out now, if you please, Lord Vader.
Vader activated his lightsaber. While it sizzled, his master stared, expressionless, into Vader's face. Vader drove his lightsaber through the bulkhead and used it to cut a door in the superstructure. He stepped through first, followed by the pair of royal guards, then his master. Dried leaves and fallen limbs covered the soft loam of the forest floor. Trees with smooth-barked trunks rose 70 meters toward the sky, blotting out the last of the day's light. The partially exposed root systems were so large they formed knotted tangles of twisted wood as tall as Vader. The canopy above rustled in Ryloth's constant winds, as if the entire forest were gossiping in whispered tones. Something large fluttered high above, disturbing leaves. In the distance, out in the dark, some native fauna howled as the day died.
"Check the survival kits,"
Vader said to the royal guards.
"See what's salvageable."
They did not obey until Vader's master gave them a nod. When they'd gone, Vader turned to his master and tried to keep his tone deferential.
"Are you testing me, Master?"
"Testing you? Is that how you perceive things?"
"Am I wrong?"
His master smiled and reached up to put a hand that could emit force lightning, on Vader's shoulder. The gesture both a sign of affection and an assertion of power.
"We are all of us always being tested, my friend. Tests make us stronger, and strength is power, and power is the point. We must pass all the tests we face."
A long pause. Then,
"Or die in the effort."
Vader could not read his master's face or the meaning behind his words. But then again, he rarely could. Chapter 11. The communication center buzzed with the sound of orders, but behind them was the low background murmur of collective disbelief. The air smelled of sweat, of distress.
"What is happening up there?" a lieutenant asked.
"Status on the Moff shuttle?"
asked another.
"Tri-fighters now? How many?"
Belcor moved from station to station through the tumult, taking in facts, issuing orders, and doing his best to look as if he were trying to rescue the men he actually wanted dead, and in control of events that had long ago outrun him. He had no confirmation that the Moff ship had been destroyed, only that it had disappeared from scans. The same was true of the Emperor shuttle. Both were hopeful signs, but he dared not actually hope. He realized he was breathing fast. His uniform felt too tight, the wall seemed too close, the ceiling too low.
"Sir, are you all right?"
"What?
Of course, yes, yes. Carry on, Lieutenant."
But he wasn't all right. He wouldn't be all right until he knew the Emperor, Vader, and Mors were dead.
"Escape pods are landing all over the western hemisphere of the planet and the near moon, sir,"
said another lieutenant.
"We're getting thousands of distress signals. Search and rescue is prioritizing rescue grids, but sir, this is overwhelming. They don't have enough personnel. They'll be at this for days."
"Disposition of the Emperor shuttle or the Moff ship?"
"Nothing yet, sir."
Belcor nodded, at once relieved and terrified. If he had somehow succeeded, his next challenge would be to concoct a believable enough cover story to exculpate himself. But first, he needed to ensure that the Emperor and Vader and the Moth were dead.
Isval heard someone screaming.
Isval! Eshko! One of you get up! I need help!
It was Phelan's voice. Isval opened her eyes groggy. She blinked, breathed deep through a throat that felt raw, and Ryloth filled the screen, huge and fulgent. And then it was gone, replaced by black. And then it was back, and then gone.
They were spinning, bow over stern. Isval squeezed her eyes shut to quell a bout of nausea. She was muzzy-headed, but realized they were going to hit the atmosphere while the ship was spinning. They'd break up and burn all the way down.
Phelan,
she said, her throat scratchy and pained.
Eshko!
Eshko was slumped in his chair beside her, his chin on his chest.
Phelan was blanketed awkwardly over him, trying to operate the shuttle's controls.
He's dead, Isval, she said, and Crossed and Drim are unconscious. I can't straighten the ship. I've flown sims, but...
dead,
Isval repeated, her thoughts coming slow but grief bubbling up through the sludge.
Isval! You're a better pilot than me. You need to fly this ship or we'll be joining him! Grieve later, Isval!
Phelan's tone helped her focus. She sat forward in the chair and tried to clear her head.
First, the spinning,
Isval said, taking the stick in her hand.
Give me control.
I don't know how to give you control,
Phelan said.
Yes, you do,
Isval said, finding the calm she always relied on in a crisis.
Remember your time in the sim. The blue button near your left hand. Quickly.
Right,
Phelan said, calming down some. She pushed the button and Isval fired the boosters, compensating for the spin. The rotation slowed more, then stopped. Ryloth filled the screen. They were coming in dayside and too steeply. Isval tried to correct.
What can I do?
Phelan asked.
Grab hold of something, Isval said. Right now.
They hit the outer atmosphere, and it felt like running into a wall. The sudden loss of velocity threw them both forward. Phelan exclaimed, but held on to Eshko's chair. Thump sounded from the rear compartment, and Isval tried not to think of what that meant for Drim and Crossed. Flames sheathed the ship, painting the cockpit in orange light. The metal of the hull groaned and popped. The ship shook so badly that Isval's teeth ached.
Flattening,
she said, more to herself than to Phelan.
Flattening!
The vessel continued to vibrate, but it was the normal bouncing of re-entry.
What happened to the other ship?
She asked Phelan.
The one we ran into. What? The other ship, Phelan. Did you see what happened to it? Yes, it went dark and spun toward Ryloth. Did it burn up? Did you see it burn up on re-entry? This is important, Phelan.
I didn't know. We were spinning ourselves, and I could barely... I was just trying to get you back. I thought we were going to crash.
Isval cursed. The rough vibration of re-entry gave way to smooth flight as they entered normal atmosphere. She straightened the ship. Ryloth stretched out below them, bleak and brown, and as desiccated by the sun as a dried fruit. She checked the scanner, but it showed her nothing she could use. She looked out the cockpit and imagined a rain of pods and ships falling to the surface. Possibly one of them contained Vader and the Emperor, but she had no way to...
Logs, she said, tapping the keys on the navcomp.
Logs?
Phelan asked.
Check Drim and Crossed.
Phelan crawled back into the rear compartment. It took only a moment before she rendered her verdict.
They're gone. It's just us.
Isval nodded, intent on her task, refusing to allow herself to feel grief.
Did you hear me?
Phelan insisted, her voice quaking.
I said they're gone.
I heard you. Get back up here and sit. I may need you.
Isbal!
Sit, Phelan. This isn't over, and I don't want them dying for nothing. Do you?
No,
Phelan said softly. She gently removed Eshko from his seat, laid him on the deck, and took his place.
Of course not.
Isbal checked the scan logs and finally found what she was looking for. She jabbed a finger at the screen.
There!
What?
That's the shuttle's trajectory as it went down. You said it was dark, so it was just falling. It would have stayed on this path, at least roughly, as it descended. That narrows things down a bit.
She bit down to activate her private comm with Cham. Callan piloted the transport, knifing through space toward Ryloth. Cham sat in the co-pilot seat and tried to process how he felt. Strange, outside himself, almost empty. He'd exhausted most of the resources available to the movement, but they'd brought down an Imperial Star Destroyer and maybe, maybe, killed the Emperor and Vader. He should have been exultant, but instead he felt numb. He'd been filled with adrenaline for the last hour, and now he was deflating. He tried again to hail Isfal, but received no response. He felt Callan's eyes on him and kept the concern from his face, though his leku twitched. Their shuttle was coming in on the night side, opposite the face of the planet where the Perilous had been destroyed. A dozen more ships flew nearby, all of them packed with rebels and as much material as they'd been able to load rapidly and remove from the moon base. They flew at low power and low speed, the output of their engines diffused by bafflers, all in an effort to minimize their sensor profile.
"Scans are clean," Callan said, eyeing the readout. "The Empire's occupied with rescue. Back door is open and no one's home."
"We get everyone planetside, then we regroup,"
Cham said. He needed status reports. He needed to know where Isbal was, that she was all right.
"Sounds good," Callan said. "Then what?"
The question took Cham aback momentarily. Then what indeed? They'd accomplished more than he could have hoped. And he'd been so preoccupied with planning the destruction of the Perilous that he'd given only passing thought to what came next. Perhaps he hadn't believed they could do it. He had a movement to lead, a rebellion, but he wasn't sure where they were going after today. He needed to give them their next goal, something on which to focus. He needed that himself.
"I'm planning next steps now,"
he said to Callan, just to put him off. When his private comm link with Isbal pinged, he sighed with relief.
"Isbal, you're all right! Thank the..."
"I'm sending you a last known trajectory,"
she said, speaking in the clipped rapid tone she used when pursuing a task.
"Use it to establish a likely crash zone. It'll be big, hundreds of kilometers square, but it's at least a start. I need you to confirm my findings."
"What?
Slow down!"
"No time to slow down, Cham. Vader and the Emperor went down on their shuttle, but they didn't burn up. They're alive! I'm sure of it. And what I'm sending you is their last known trajectory."
Cham processed her words as the data related to the trajectory came through. He immediately fed the data into his nav comp and ran a subroutine.
"What's going on?"
Callan asked. Cham didn't bother to answer. And he didn't question Isbal's assertion that Vader and the Emperor were still alive. He trusted her implicitly, and he, like her, had seen Vader do too much. Things no one should have been able to do. Cham could not imagine that a mere crash had killed him. He doubted they'd crashed at all. And Cham wanted Vader dead, he realized. He needed him dead. Isfal had been right. Striking a meaningful blow against the Empire meant cutting off its heads. And so he had his next goal.
"What about the other ship you targeted? Who was on it?
How do you know Vader was aboard this one and not that one?
The other went down too, but Vader wasn't on it. I saw him on this one, Cham.
The subroutine completed its calculations, confirming Isval's conclusions. Cham transposed the result to an overlay of Ryloth's surface and sent it to Isval.
Calculations confirmed. If that trajectory is right, we have a search zone,
Cham said.
The Emperor could have been on the other ship, though.
What do you mean you saw Vader?
Trust me that I did,
Isval said.
So let's go with what we know. Vader was on that ship. Hard to imagine the Emperor was not with him. That area's heavily forested.
No doubt Isval was staring at the same map overlay that Cham was looking at.
Tough area to search,
she said.
Cham was thinking the same thing.
It'll take too long to find anything in that region. And if they survive the crash, they'll have sent up a hail already. Rescue will be en route. I don't know how we get to them first.
Her response was immediate.
They were dark, Cham, no power. Phelan saw. It'll take them time to establish a portable communications array with enough reach to contact search and rescue. And there have to be hails and distress calls coming from everywhere on the surface by now. Their signal will be lost in it.
We have some time.
Not much. A fraction of an hour, maybe. An idea occurred to Cham. Unless...
Say it.
Unless...
Cham was already working out details in his head.
Callan can hack the Imperial satellites anytime he wants. He's been able to do it for years. We've just kept it in our pocket because it's useless alone. Unless we take out that communication station on the equator. We do that, then hack the sats to send out a jamming signal.
Communication will be reduced to line of sight,
Isval said, and Cham imagined her slamming a fist on the instrumentation.
That's it, Cham! They'll be isolated! It'll buy us some time to hunt.
Cham warmed to the task.
We'll need Belkor, and he's going to ask about that second ship.
I need the last known trajectory for it, too. Did it go down dark?
Yeah, even life support was down, Isval said. Sending the data.
The moment it came through, Cham said,
hold there and wait for me to call you back.
Roger that.
She hesitated, then...
Cham, it's just Phelan and me now.
The rest are... gone.
Cham's leku drooped. A ball formed in his throat, but he swallowed it down. They'd been good soldiers. Friends, even. He'd lost a lot of good people today. The weight of it made his head ache.
Understood. I'm sorry, Isval.
Stand by. Before hailing Belkor, Cham ordered four of the ships flying with them to head to the search grid Isval had pinpointed and start looking for a downed Imperial shuttle. They accelerated and diverted at speed around the planet. As soon as they were away, Cham hailed Belkor on their encrypted comlink. Belkor felt the encrypted comlink vibrate against his chest, an irritating insect that wouldn't stop pestering him. He tried to ignore it, but the annoying hail continued. He stepped out of the communications center and into an adjacent office.
This is Belkor, he said tightly.
Listen carefully and do not interrupt,
said Cham's voice.
Both ships are down, but I can't confirm that either is destroyed. I have a trajectory on Vader's ship.
What about the other one?
I told you not to interrupt, Belkor.
Belkor's jaw clenched so tightly around his anger that he wondered if he'd ever be able to open it again. Cham went on.
You're going to tell the Equatorial Communications Hub that an incoming Imperial escort ship is carrying wounded VIPs from the Perilous. They are to lower their shields and receive this ship. Do you understand?
Belcour didn't even bother to ask how Cham knew about a classified installation hidden in the planet's equatorial verdure. Every time Belcour spoke to Cham, the Twi'lek said things that made his head swim. He seemed one or two steps ahead of Belcour's thinking at every turn.
I can't do that.
You must. That station's satellite relays need to be destroyed.
To what end?
It'll do nothing.
We'll hack the communication sets afterward. Have them send a jamming signal.
The implication settled on Belcour. You'll fog the whole net, disrupt communications for the whole planet.
I know. Communication will be line of sight only. And that's what I need. We think Vader and the Emperor are alive but stranded.
Belcour's heart was a sledgehammer on his ribs. We haven't received a distress call. He whispered,
Why do you think they're alive?
If they crashed...
Because we've seen what Vader can do, Belcour. And a crash isn't going to kill him. We're going to have to stuff a blaster in his faceplate and pull the trigger to be sure. We bring down communications, and they're isolated. That'll give us time. And we'll use it to hunt them down.
Belcour didn't miss the use of the collective pronoun, and he supposed it was warranted. Belcour was a traitor, the same as Cham. Given all he'd done, he might as well have been a member of Cham's Free Ryloth movement. He'd be treated the same way if he were caught. He realized he was pacing, and his agitation was drawing eyes through the transparent glass that walled his office. He took a breath to steady himself, stopped pacing, and turned his back to the glass. How do you know where they are?
I don't know for certain. I have a search zone, but it's large. That's why I need the extra time.
Belcour's mind turned to Moore's. The second ship. You said it was down. How do you know?
My people saw it. That's all I can say for certain.
Sweat ran in rivulets down Belcour's sides. Well, I need you to say more, Syndulla. He dropped his voice to an even lower whisper. The Moth was on it. I need her to stay on it. Do you understand?
I do. Odds are she's dead, Belcour. Her shuttle was dark and life support was down. We killed Vader and the Emperor, and this mess is clean. And you're the new Moth.
I need to be sure, Belcour said. I need the trajectory for the Moth ship. Send it to me.
I can't spare any resources to search another landing zone.
I'll check on it myself. Just send me the damn data.
Fine, good.
Cham said, in the tone one used when addressing an incensed child. Belcour found it infuriating.
Here it comes.
Belcour's comm link lit up as it received the data. It's through, he said.
Then do what I asked and do it now,
Cham said. Belcour smoothed his hair and gathered what he could of his composure. I'll alert the base.
Good hunting, Belcour.
Cham said. Belcour couldn't quite bring himself to wish Cham the same. Callan took them through re-entry and into Ryloth's night sky. From there, he accelerated through the whipping winds and eventually piloted the ship into the yawning cave mouth that opened onto an old spice mine, the twisting shafts picked clean 10 years or more before the Clone Wars. The ships accompanying theirs fell in behind. Callan activated his vessel's external lights and flew into the maze of the mine. He knew the path by heart. Looking out the cockpit glass at the rough, machine-scarred walls, Cham wondered how long it would be before they had to abandon this base, too. He was running out of hidey holes and resources, consuming them all in a day. It would be fully worthwhile only if they killed Vader and the Emperor.
He raised Isval before the distance underground made communications iffy.
"Where are you?"
she asked. "We are safely to the eastern base," he said. "Heading down. Callan's ready." Beside him, Callan nodded.
"Very ready."
"What do you have for me?"
Isval asked Cham. She was all business as usual. Cham smiled. "Belcor is informing the Equatorial Communications Hub of your approach. You're carrying wounded VIPs from the